time is here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHA. That was a double H-A. M-O-U-S-E.
The alphabet soup of recovery.
Yes, we don't speak for any of them, their guys, or none of the Anons, and we don't speak that well for ourselves. Just ask anybody.
Yes.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce, as always, with...
Shelley B.
And Mark M.
Shelley B. Okay, so... A lot happened this week. What you went traveling around?
I was in Houston, Texas.
How was the humidity?
It was fine.
It was good?
Oh, yeah. It's nice this time of year.
Ah.
80 degrees and perfect outside. Slight breeze in the afternoon.
Nice. Get everything squared away.
Got everything done early. Was able to make a CA meeting on Thursday night.
I was going to say, you went to a meeting there, right?
I did.
How's CA in Texas?
They don't clap.
It drives you crazy?
Well, it just makes you feel stupid when you're like... Somebody gets in, Sherry, you got your hands about 4 inches away from each other. And also, you got to make it look like you're like smoothing out your hair.
You're like, yeah. So. Just straightening out my do. Yeah.
Or the worst part is if you're at a meeting, this happened to me once in Cincinnati. You're at a meeting and they finish sharing and you automatically start clapping and somebody near you said, "Are you from California?" Because I think we're the only place where they clap.
It's like we shared like last week or the week before, you know, I'm in church. We do the Lord's Prayer, and at the end, I'm like, "Keep coming back. It works."
And yeah, and like everybody's quiet. Yeah.
Everybody looks at me. And
yeah, you got two sponsees after that one.
Yeah. You see a couple people in the crowd and nod their head. I'm done. Like, oh yeah,
he did actually get a sponsee out of that.
Oh yeah, yeah. I could have done without that. Jelly,
what?
How stings?
It's been a rough week.
Yeah.
Not a good week for me. Lost a very close friend.
Another one.
It's been a rotten year so far. It's
really?
The lady that passed away on Friday, she's a very close friend of mine, and she's in choir with me. So I didn't really want to go to church this morning, but I went anyway, and it was half the church is in tears. Her family went, which... was good, and it surprised me because it's just very emotional right now. I was supposed to have this big, huge committee meeting after church, and we all walked into the library at the church office to have this meeting. We're all looking at each other. Everybody's got red eyes. We're all sniffly. We're like, okay, this is not going to happen. It's just immediate business only, and then we got the heck out because we couldn't do it. Okay. So it's on the bright side. As people might notice from my voice is a little bit clearer.
You're infection-free?
Well, finally, after all these antibiotics, they think the infection is probably gone and that the problem I was having breathing was not the infection. It was because my sed rate, they found out my sed rate was really high. So I had a lot of inflammation going on. I think all the tissues were swollen.
Okay, because no one knows.
What?
What's your sed rate?
Well, I don't remember what the number was, but
no.
It's a sed rate. It's sedimentation something or other rate. They take a blood test and they run it around in a centrifuge, and if you're really inflamed, there's an enzyme that causes some part of your blood to fall slower than everything else.
You're right. We didn't care.
Yeah. See, it's very highly technical. I don't get how the test works or whatever, but because I have RA, what that means is that there's a lot of internal inflammation. Yeah. So they put me on prednisone for 4 days, and it's like,
You're brand new?
Yeah.
She put a thing on Facebook. It's got Julie Andrews out in the Alps, and it says, "The way I feel after 4 days of prednisone."
Perfect. Yeah, so. We don't care what it is. We're just happy you're feeling better.
Yes. So that's nice.
I'm feeling better, too.
Well, good.
I still
can't hear anything.
You know, I got sick, and I immediately had to work 5 days in a row. So the entire time, I'm dying at work. But now I feel, you know, I'm like 95%, so I'm
cool.
I'm good. Plus, my guy at the store today had the best sales day of the last 9 years.
Perfect.
So go figure. Thank you, President Obama.
Those tax return checks are just starting to roll in, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I was talking with someone the other day, and they were talking about, I saw some meme, and this guy's like, hey, my job got sent overseas, but, you know, be sure and cut my Social Security and stuff down. And I'm thinking, you know, if we didn't have the one of the highest corporate tax rates in the world, your job probably wouldn't have gone overseas.
Yes.
Because I have a corporation. Mm-hmm. We have a 35% tax rate. Yep. That's higher. There's only one other country in the world that has a tax rate that high.
Yep.
It's like, yikes.
Well, it's like the guy who says, you know, the administration has added 2 million new jobs, and I have 3 of them.
Yeah, they're all 6 hours a week minimum wage.
Well.
With no benefits.
Not a political show.
That's true. We're not.
I'm usually the one that reins
you know the
wind. We did a show once.
I didn't refer to any certain administration.
Oh, no.
Bruce did. That's his fault.
Well, I was thanking him. We did a show once years ago when it was Lee and James and I.
Uh-huh.
And we did Recovery 101 Goes All Political.
Perfect. And, what night are we doing that?
Well, we're not. Lee Honish was running for president of AA.
Okay.
So he was gonna completely take over AA, and I
was
like, oh,
this one
so
of those
much,
horrible scripted kill, shows.
It's gonna kill the entire program right there. Everything's gonna
I'm gonna
go
invite slow. Him for Thursday.
Oh God, no.
He should have him be the speaker.
He could be secretary.
He could be the speaker.
We already did that, remember? We had to rescue the meeting then too.
Yeah, that I could think of better ways we could do that. So, you know what that means?
What's that mean?
Oh, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
Okay, we have shout-outs to Alexandria, Natalie, Dakota, Sally, Georgette, Jack, Bill. I am Fran, John. I am obese, remember?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know the actual name. Fran, John, Carol, Joey, Stryker, Randy, probably the last one from Randy, because Randy's service is tomorrow.
Yeah.
Viviana, Elizabeth, James, Dan, Damon, Jamie, Donald, and Travis. And I would also like to say thank you to Pina Sandro, who donated $2 million.
What? Wait, what? To us?
Yes, we have to email Pino with our bank account so that he can deposit
Is
that
he
money.
From Nigeria?
Possibly, yes. Yeah.
Oh, of course. Let's do that.
I'm glad you gave him a shout-out, too. That's awesome. Shout-out to the spammers.
Oh, we have
I love those emails. Hello. You're the only one I can trust. Really? I notice this is a group message. It went to 753 recipients. But I'm the only one you can trust because you know me so
You 753 well. Are the only ones I can trust.
Yeah. I've never met you before, but you're the only guy that can help me.
Because everybody that I know has screwed me over, so I thought I'd just send this to strangers.
If you don't mind, I'd like to deposit $35 million American into your account. If I could please have your account information so I can make the transfer. We know a guy that did
That did that.
Dave. Yeah. Our buddy Dave did.
Yeah. How much did he get?
He got zero. Well, he went and made a bank account so that this money could be put in that bank account. So there was nothing for them to take out, but I'm like, dude, you fool. What? And this is a guy that worked with me at an internet company. I'm like, dude, that is like the oldest trick. And it was the Nigerian one, too. I am the Nigerian finance minister.
Yeah.
Please to help me get $35 million out of my country because it's not safe to terrorists.
They sent an email with an accent?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Yeah. Okay. And like I know what a Nigerian
accent sounds like. Yeah.
I know what a Zimbabwe accent sounds like.
Yeah.
Actually,
my name is Don. I'm from Zimbabwe.
Actually, yeah. You weren't far off because I know a Nigerian woman.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
And she sounded just like Bruce.
She goes to church. Yeah, she goes to my church. She's actually in my Bible study. She sat next to me this morning.
She sounds like me. She must not be a looker.
No, she's a very attractive woman. She's very nice.
Oh, is that the one who wears like the really cool outfits, that one?
No. We have another immigrant family that came.
Oh, wow. This gal, she came at like, I don't know if it was Easter or Christmas. This woman wears like these
traditional,
kind of like traditional African outfits, but they're
badass. Beautiful. Absolutely,
I mean,
gorgeous.
Like gorgeous.
Cute.
Yeah.
Okay. It's Stearns County, Minnesota.
Okay.
Stearns County.
Nicholas George Lammer.
Three names.
28 years old. He was charged with, let's see. There's a whole slew of things.
Is there a litany?
A litany.
There's a litany, and now I can't find it.
There's a shopping list of charges?
Let's just state that this particular complaint starts with attempted murder.
Yeah, but that could be anything.
Child abuse. Child endangerment.
Okay, that's a little more specific.
Assault. Battery. There's a whole slew. Because what he did this time... He'd already gotten picked up once for assaulting their 7-year-old child. He and his wife have two children.
How did they let him back?
She let him back. The child was taken from the home and lives with a relative. She's now had another child, 4-month-old baby. He was ticked off because he felt that she was
spending
too much time with the baby. So pointed a 12-gauge at her and pulled the trigger. While she was breastfeeding their infant.
How'd that work out?
The gun did not go off.
It would have been nice if it would have backfired and blew a bunch of stuff at
him. Yeah, it did not go off then. He got ticked off, threw it, threw it across the room. It went off. Then he ran to the other room, got a handgun.
What?
Told her that one bullet is all I need to end this.
Yeah, in your own head.
Yes. Well, she, baby already in arms, runs off. They called the police. He has a pattern of this going back 10 years, but she very rarely reported anything because she was living in fear. But it's over now. But that was our waste of water post.
Yeah.
Ladies, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, if you're in an abusive relationship, get the F out of there. It's not going to get any better. He's not going to change. Just get the F out.
And not just ladies. It's husbands get abused as well. It's just they just don't talk about it.
That's because it's the power of P.
No.
And I don't mean P as in urine.
You know how much television has changed over the years?
Oh, my gosh.
I was watching an old Johnny Carson show the other night.
Yeah.
And he was doing the thing where he has the audience fill out all these papers. And one of them that got a huge laugh was, it was doing Love Is. Audience fill in the blanks. And one of them is, Love Is never having to apologize for smacking you in the side of the head the night before. And people thought that was hysterical.
We were talking about
it earlier. It's a 1981 Johnny Carson show.
We were talking about it earlier. Mark and my friend James were in here before the show. And we were talking about Bonanza, and when Bonanza first came on with Lorne Greene and all those guys, it was in black and white.
Right.
And the Cartwrights were not really a nice group of guys. Like, they were. Every show was like, they're squatters on our land, and we got to go kill them, and we got to throw them off, and the Hop Sing, hold a gun on these guys, and if they try and move, shoot them. And then, 6 years later in Technicolor, Lorne Greene's like giving away 30,000 acres of land to some poor family. And I'm like, these are not the same guys. What happened? It's a gentler banana. Yeah. And you know what? Michael Landon must have taken 32 slugs in his career on Bonanza.
Yeah.
He was getting shot like every third episode.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, there was a gunfight in like every episode.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
50-year-old father, 3 42-year-old sons.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you do that? Okay, back to the news.
Back to the news.
And now, back to the news.
Yes. Lori Faith, she actually posted this one in the group.
Lori Faith. Hey, Lori Faith.
Yes. This happened on Seven Mile Bridge in
Florida.
Yes.
Oh, 7 mile. Yeah, that's a weird thing, man.
The iconic.
I would be freaked out riding on that, I think.
Why?
Well,
I don't know. My luck to beat some hurricane on the way. And
Carl,
I'll break down.
Drive fast.
Carl didn't seem to have much of a problem taking a joyride on 7 mile bridge.
Was he drunk?
Out on the highway. Fairly, yes. He decided to, he found a backhoe that had the keys in the ignition on one end of 7 mile, the 7 mile run.
Joey rode a backhoe?
So he decided to take the backhoe onto the road on the 7 mile.
Tell me on the wrong side.
At times.
Oh, you can go, you can go across.
Well, yeah, there's a huge stretch, especially along the bridge, where you could go back and forth. It's just two lanes over the water. I mean, it's, you know what
it's
it looks
like. Driving down the road and see a backhoe coming at you.
Yeah, so he was zigzagging, weaving, bandying himself about. The police decided to block off the free. They made sure that they got all the cars off. They blocked off both ends of the 7 mile bridge.
With what?
With police cars.
Backhoe's bulldozer. Make quick work of some of those.
Put down tack strips and attempted to box him in.
I'll bet a tack strip on those tires don't do anything.
You have to have 20 penny nails sticking on the top of that thing.
Yeah, those big tires.
It took more than 4 hours to pen him in. The bridge was closed until 3 a.m. that night.
You know what the problem was? Go ahead. What happened?
They finally, he ran over the tack strip several times, and finally it ran him off the road. Well, he was at the end. Patrick just said, one of our peanut gallery just said, into the water. He was already at the end of the bridge, so he kind of just slumped down toward the shore. And then, so it was damaged. When he gets out of the backhoe and they're hooking him up, he told them the reason he did this is because he needs to slow down the other drivers because they go too fast.
Oh, it's a public service.
So it was a public service, really. Yes. Okay. He has been charged with...
I'm sure the judge will look kindly on that in addition to the other charges.
He has been charged with felony counts of fleeing the police, grand theft auto, aggravated assault, criminal mischief, misdemeanor counts of reckless driving, failing to register a motor vehicle, littering, and digging up a public road.
Wow. Digging up the road.
You understand the SWAT teams have one of the guys in a position called sniper?
Yeah.
And I could have ended that in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, now it's going to cost the state of Florida a lot of money. Yeah,
as opposed to 78 cents for that 308.
I hear the dogs are going crazy.
Yes, apparently someone is here. Bill sent this story in, and this happened at a Fresno.
Imagine that.
Dorian Mann, that's his name, 21 years old.
What's his name?
Dorian Mann.
Dorian?
Yes, Dorian Mann.
Dorian Mann Gray?
He's 21 years old. He was wounded in the face after he was shot by an officer.
That's not a good place to get shot.
Well, he was armed with a handgun and was basically just running wild, screaming and shouting and generally putting the fear of God into people. However, it wasn't the fear of God when they finally managed to nail him down.
Jack Daniels?
No, he told them that he was Lucifer.
Oh, well, of course.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Now, this is a guy who's just been shot in the face. He's still talking, so apparently they just winged him.
You know what he should have said? My name is Louis Cipher.
Louis Cipher.
He also said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Jesus has no power on earth. This is what he told the arresting officer.
I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, but Jesus has no power. So let me rebuke you with the guy with no power.
You're trying to make sense out of this.
Yeah. To which the responding officer replied, you know what? God has all the strength here. At which point, he froze up and laid down on the ground.
I thought he was going to say, God has all the strength here, and he gave me Holy Smith and Wesson rounds. One in the face.
Yeah, so he was apprehended. The power of the Lord froze him up.
The Lord came out as a taser.
The power of the Smith & Wesson compels you.
Oh, geez. A friend of mine posted on Facebook today one of those memes that said that there's no way she could ever have a taser because she would be way too tempted to tase herself just to find out what it felt like. And I said, that's exactly what happened when Bill sent me the electric bug zapper. The temptation to find out what it feels like is overwhelming. And I zapped myself, so, you know.
And it's got a...
It has a good kick.
For, like, a couple of batteries, it's got a pretty good thump.
Yes.
It kills crap out of the sky instantly. Of course yeah. It does.
I was zapped enough that I was like,
for
one a few
of those
seconds.
Evil flying beetle-y things.
Yeah.
And when she hit it, it looked like a B-29 going down in World War II. I mean, it was in flames.
In two pieces.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, wow, that's impressive.
And then I kind
Splash
of like...
Splash two.
I kind of like was insensible for a few seconds. I had to shake my head. And then I had to go to the bathroom really bad. Oh. So I ran
into
the...
Well, at least you didn't go at the time it happened. You shocked the shit out of yourself.
Almost.
Oh, man.
So I run in to go to the bathroom, and my son took that opportunity to troll my Facebook because it was open.
Sure.
And let everybody know that I just shocked myself.
You should have added that line.
All right. Fran sent this one in out of Forest Grove, Oregon.
Fran, yay. Oh, I've been there.
Forest Grove High School had to completely shut down and take their email system offline indefinitely. Some of these students, a few of them, were receiving pornographic spam from the school email account.
Oh.
The attack...
Little Joey's been having fun.
Emma Coffey, who's a senior at the school, was working... You know, they get the students to do work hours in the office or whatever. She was working in the office and was put on email detail. The email comes up, and the top one says, "Hi, I know how to email the whole school from here." And it was from an account she didn't, they don't know where it came from or who it is.
One in the library.
The next thing you know, a couple dozen students get this pornographic spam. The students compounded the problem by immediately
forwarding.
Hitting reply all.
Of course, that'll do it.
Oh.
So every single one of them that got it then, and it exponentially went all
crashed,
over the school.
Probably crashed the servers too.
Well, it doesn't say that it did that. They don't know who had, and now they say that none of the students' information was.
And what was this girl's name?
The one who discovered the error was Emma Coffey.
Yeah, she's the one. She's the one. I'll discover the error so no one will suspect me.
Yeah. So the email system is shut down. None of the students' material was
compromised.
But
there were pictures of Mrs. Johnson that were probably compromised. Or maybe Mr. Johnson. I don't know.
Really?
Richard?
Rock Johnson.
Richard? Big Dick
Richard,
Johnson?
You're Richard Johnson, yes.
Yeah, Big Dick Johnson?
Dick Johnson.
Okay, Fran sent this story too.
He's a football coach. I think his name is Big Dick Johnson.
Strength and conditioning.
Fran sent this next story in too, as
go
well.
Go Fran.
Yes, go Fran.
Fran.
Fran's in action.
We've got a slew from Elizabeth coming up soon too.
Sweet.
Dude.
This story was out of the UK.
Uck.
Yes. Now, in the story, the gentleman's last name—I don't know. I know she's doing all right. She, you
I
know,
heard she's
a couple
been
months
practicing on her stripper pole, in case there's a convention.
That's true. She did say that.
We need to have one of those.
There's been a lot of scuttlebutt
in
on
Nashville.
Facebook about it
in Nashville.
I think they were talking.
Everybody
Vegas
wants
again.
To go to Vegas.
Vegas.
Again.
Okay, I'm in.
Now, in the story, the gentleman's last name is not listed. However, you could go on to probably YouTube and look up the British television show Tattoo Fixers, because he was featured on this. His name is Greg. He went out with his mates to a pub.
That means there's a bunch of bad tattoos on that
extraordinarily
show.
Drunk.
Uh-oh. Did he tattoo?
Woke up to find that someone had tattooed a 10.5-inch long veiny penis down the side of his leg.
Oh, he probably said, "Can you make it look like I have a 10-inch dick?" The guy said, "Sure."
Sure.
At first, he thought that it was just Sharpie because they tattooed it with like navy blue and gray ink. So he thought it was just Sharpie. So he tried to scrub it off, and then it started bleeding.
Oh! Yeah, you're not supposed to screw with it at all.
Yeah. And I'm quoting him here when he said, "I thought, well, that's the end of my life as I know it." Because the tattoo was larger than he was. So, you know, it'd be a little embarrassing.
Well,
you
it's want to, a 10.5-inch
tattoo.
Hey,
baby, you want to see my 10.5 inches?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really? A 10.5-inch tattoo. Unless you're just, like, hung like a horse, you're going to look small compared to that.
Yes. So when he heard that the show Tattoo Fixers was...
He'd walk around like this, though.
Was because he couldn't afford to get it removed. I guess tattoo removal is not included on the National Health Service.
You know what it's going to be? Was it a dragon? Did they make it a dragon?
No, the tattoo artist turned it into an Asian guardian lion.
Guardian lion?
A lion.
Lion. Oh. All right. Yeah, yes. It's got to be something with a lot of action and to cover something like that.
Yeah, so, you know, if you'd like to see the metamorphosis of the giant penis into the
now, have
Asian
you seen
guardian
the
lion. Only of the penis tattoo.
Does it? Was it a good tattoo?
Basic, I don't know. It was a line drawing, basically.
My dick is the king of beasts.
But that makes a nice...
Refer back to Big Dick Johnson from Forest Grove High.
That makes a nice change from the usual, I got really drunk and woke up in a bathtub full of ice with a kidney missing story. At least this one's believable.
Yeah.
The next one, we're a little bit past time, but I'll just do one more. It's from Elizabeth.
Elizabeth?
Out of Baker...
California?
No.
Oh, Florida!
Yes. 24-year-old...
Not a lot happened in Baker, California.
Yeah. 24-year-old Whitney Kilcrease was found lying unconscious on her floor with her child playing nearby. They woke her up. She became violent, started using profanity, so her father grabbed the child and went next door to their uncle's house and locked themselves in. Apparently, she's now facing charges of child neglect. She drank vodka, took Xanax.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
There's a cocktail started.
Yeah, it was vodka, Xanax, and I can't find the third thing that she was on. But her blood alcohol content was 0.3.
Let's get this party started.
Yeah.
0.03.
Okay.
Point
0.3.
3.? Yeah, 0.3. Yeah, 0.3. Okay. They've listed it here as milligrams per deciliter, which is you have to translate it into the decimal, and I can't do that in my head. I can't do that with a calculator either.
That's because you were never a drug dealer.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Drug dealers, the only place metrics was ever successful in this country.
That's right. Cocaine.
So she will not be getting her child back. I guess she's on the waste of water segment of the show.
I'm betting this wasn't her only episode in life.
I'm guessing not. After she came to in the hospital, she told the deputies that her father left to run errands and she decided to drink some Captain Morgan, doesn't remember anything after that.
I heard a girl at Charter Hospital one time share that she tried to overdose on antidepressants and she woke up in a really good mood.
On that note,
that is the end of the boozy news.
Looking for a new mattress? Not sure where to go or how to start? Want to make sure you get the best mattress for your money and one that will give you years of sleeping pleasure? There's only one answer, and that is Dreamland Discount Mattress in Covina. At Dreamland, Bruce and his dedicated team will ensure that you find the right mattress at the right price that will give you years of sleeping comfort. Dreamland Discount Mattress offers a wide range of options, styles, and choices, all at up to 80% off. Want to hear what many of their customers are saying about them? Check them out on Yelp to learn why you should become a satisfied customer of Dreamland Discount Mattress too. Go by and visit them at 1007 North Azusa Avenue in Covina, or give them a call at 626-331-8044. And remember, at Dreamland Discount Mattress, prices are always up to 80% off.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, Shelly. Those dreams are your ticket out.
Welcome back.
To the same old place that you laughed about.
Shelly's not going to play tomorrow.
I'm just waiting for her to bust in the song one of these days. I know she played a song she recorded years ago, but I don't know. So anyway, we have a topic.
What would that be, Bruce?
Family affair. And
is this an Arkansas family?
It's a fictitious family.
She's my mother. She's my sister. She's my best friend.
Oh. All at the same time.
My family tree grows in a straight line.
What was was the thing? I am my own grandpa.
I'm my own grandpa. It was a song on the Muppet Show.
My family tree is a totem pole.
Wow. So, in the fictitious family world, we have a group of people that live in a not a big thriving metropolis, and a relative comes to visit who is, by anyone's standards, an alcoholic. The family knows it.
Except his own?
Except his own.
Okay.
Everybody knows it. The whole family knows it. One of the family has tried to get this person to go into a recovery home. You know, of course, the problem is the person doesn't think they have a problem, right. So they're not going into a recovery home. Want to go to the mom's house. The mom said, absolutely no booze at my house.
Okay.
Then gets reprimanded by another member of the family for saying that. Who is the member of the family who's tried to get him in a recovery before? Then there's another one in the family who has gone to meetings, who has been sober for a while, who says, no, mom, don't let him come. He says, I can't be around him, because if I'm around him, I'm going to start drinking.
Okay.
And so the thing is, what do we do in family situations like that?
What do we do, or what does the family in general do?
Well,
what
would you suggest to the family to do from the outside looking in? I mean, it's pretty cut and dried in AA ways. I mean,
yeah, drop them like a rock.
Well, you're like, hey, it's
tough love.
It's your house, mom. If you say no booze, then that's it.
Right.
Right.
It's not get reprimanded by other people for saying you can't have booze. What do you think?
So how do families deal with people who have substance abuse problems?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think the hardest part always is trying to get the family in lockstep.
Yes.
Because you'll have...
Like a what do they call it?
Intervention.
Some front. United front.
United front, yeah. Because you'll always have the one or two chief enablers who just can't believe you don't want to help family, not realizing what helping them looks like.
And, of course, this family, fictitious family, knows people that are in the program with time.
Right.
Doesn't ask their advice at all. One of them in this family, because it's a group of people.
Yeah.
One of them in the family was married to an alcoholic.
Okay.
Finally, you know, divorced him because he was an alcoholic, and is one of the ones like reprimanding mom for not letting the other one bring booze in the house.
Ah. So we're a little fractured on our front.
There is no united front on this one.
It sounds to me as though half the family is trying to keep up appearances.
Right.
And by admitting, having the mom figure admit that there's a problem with this one and I don't want this going on in my house, that dispels the myth, the happy family myth, which makes some of the members of the family uncomfortable. So rather than go after the problem, they go after the easy, you know, the easier, softer way is to attack the person that's trying to stand her ground.
Hmm. Sounds like it. Now, Mark, let's say you're an outsider looking. I'll tell you what. Let's say you're sponsoring the guy that's sober.
Okay.
Whose brother's alcoholic.
Okay.
He doesn't live at mom's house. He lives separately, but he lives close to mom. Knows all this is going on, supports mom. What would you tell him? Because mom is elderly, and the you know, everyone in this, I think the oldest person in this is in their 50s. The youngest one's probably in their 40s.
Okay.
So the youngest one is actually the one.
Well, sure.
With the issue.
Sure.
And the oldest one, of course, is the mom. So your guy that you sponsor is in second place. He's the second youngest, but he's got some time. He doesn't have a lot of time, but he's been in and out a lot in the past. But he knows I can't hang around with my brother because I'm going to get I'm going to get drunk.
Yeah,
yeah.
I tell him to steer clear and stay out of it.
And then would you suggest him to suggest the mom to do anything in particular? Besides stand her ground?
Support mom in what she does. But, I mean, I just say, just stay out of it. First of all, if you have somebody who is a non-admitted alcoholic, all they are is a heavy drinker at that point. Because they're not an alcoholic till they say they are.
Right.
Ours is not to judge. You don't get to judge whether they're an alcoholic or not. If they drink too much to make you uncomfortable being around them, don't be around them. And that's a hard decision to make sometimes because the family has members who want to keep up appearances, so they want the big happy family to get together, and you can't be a part of it.
Now, Shelley,
what?
You have a significant experience with Al-Anon.
Yes.
What would the Al-Anon perspective on this be?
I love, but detach.
Love from afar?
Yes. I love you very much. Please stay out of my home. I mean, because you have to, you know, for the person that's not an alcoholic trying to stay sober, who's just, you know, a normie and Al-Anon type of person, she needs to protect herself, her sanity, and her interests. And if it's at that point where the person is just out of control, there's nothing you can do. So the Al-Anon perspective, I mean, from years ago when I was in Al-Anon, would be just to detach with love. You set your boundaries and you stick to them.
Yeah.
Now, that would go for basically the whole family.
Yes, it should, but the whole point is the Al-Anon needs to, she will do what's right for her. Other people need to make their own decisions.
Right.
But as long as she sets her boundaries and sticks to them, then she's doing what she's supposed to do.
Right.
It becomes difficult, though, when other members of the family are not respecting her boundaries on behalf of the person she's setting the boundaries for.
Now, we've seen shows before like Intervention. Now, you know, in a perfect world, since everyone seems to agree that this guy drinks too much, except the guy,
yeah,
it's like a perfect intervention kind of thing. You get the whole family together, you know, you let them know we love you, but you're effing up. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to decide what you're going to do because we can't support you anymore in this and blah, 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 blah. Doesn't look like anything like that is going to happen because it's really fractured. It sounds like it's really fractured right
now.
Yes. So I think you're right. Probably people are going to have to do this in their own way. Like if you sponsored the one guy, he's going to have to try and stay out of it, support mom and stay out of it. Mom's got to stand her ground, hey, you can't come here. Mm-hmm. The other ones are probably going to still side with the alcoholic. It's really, you know, family things. You know, they talk about it in the chapter of the family afterward and all that. It's a effed up thing.
Well, they talk about the family afterward. They don't talk about the family during.
That's true.
We need a new chapter. We need to go to 172 during. Pages. Well, and add 8 pages of the family during.
They do that in some parts
in all
of the book.
All the rest of the book is about the family during.
Yeah, I was going to say, they do that. It's usually, matter of fact, it's always in the book is from the wife's perspective.
Yeah.
You know, here's what you need to do.
Because women aren't alcoholics.
Yeah, you know, back then I think you were more likely to be a guy.
Probably throw a call in a diversified intervention group.
Yeah. Could call Ken, you know what? They could call Ken Seeley. Ken Seeley, I see him all over the place. Apparently, he's quite a good interventionist, but he's probably also expensive.
Yeah.
You know. So, And unfortunately, this person is from a metropolitan area. Everyone else is in a small town, small, like 5,000 kind of small town. We actually have a friend that went to move up there. Our good friend Nathan went to move to a very small town, much smaller than the one that's only 5,000. And he said, wow, there isn't shit for meetings up here. He says, you know, half the meetings in the book aren't there anymore. There's really no meetings. You know, we always talk about on this show how lucky we are because there's just hundreds and hundreds of meetings around. And these guys have limited meetings. And this guy is talking about maybe moving up there. Maybe moving up. Maybe even moving in with mom while he looks for a place.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
And so that's come up in the mix as well. So it makes it especially difficult if mom's saying, no, you can't bring booze in my house, but hey, I might come and live with you till I can find a place.
If mom doesn't, Mark is having a little trouble with that futon.
Yeah.
If mom doesn't stick to her guns, that's going to turn into a major cluster F.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah.
It's going to turn out however it turns out.
Yeah.
I guess, oh, I can't say that because this is a fictitious family. I forgot about that. Never mind.
Well, what if it was a family you knew?
You've already discussed it in non-fictitious terms, even though it is a fictitious family.
Yeah.
What was the question?
Well, what's a non-fictitious term? Meaning I lied about it?
Well, how would you think, Bruce, because you have time.
Yeah.
So if you were involved here, how would you, as the person with time, handle it with the family?
If I were there,
yeah,
I'd take it up directly with the
offender,
with the supposed alcoholic,
okay,
or the for sure alcoholic, whatever type of alcoholic you want, want to say. But I have a significant amount of time. Like this other person who doesn't have a lot of time, probably not the right guy to do it.
Right.
Maybe his sponsor might be someone that, but he, you know, the sponsor probably not going to get involved either.
Would you?
Because the thing is, as we know, unless someone asks you, I mean, yeah, you can share your experience, strength, and hope. You can't tell them to do anything. It's just like one family member tried to put this person in a recovery home. Well, great. Yeah, put him in a recovery home. But if he doesn't think he's an alcoholic, he's either not going to stay or it's going to have absolutely no effect on him. And someone's going to spend a lot of money on a recovery facility, and it's going to do absolutely nothing.
Now, well, it's no good to plant the seed if you don't water it.
Right. Now, you would say that you could, what does the book say, wait for him to go on a huge bender?
Cheerfully see him through more sprees.
Yeah. Wait for him to go through a huge bender, and then wait for a lucid interval and speak to him about it then. The problem is, for them, no one's probably going to do that. I don't think the one guy should do that. I think the other should probably do like what Shelley said. Yep. Say, hey, you know what? We love you, but we can't condone this.
I find it interesting.
And actually, we love you. We can't condone this, and you shouldn't move to mom's house because she doesn't want alcohol in her house.
I find it interesting about the guy who has some time.
Yeah.
That is concerned that if there's drinking going on around him, that he may go back out and drink.
Well, he doesn't. He has been to many meetings.
Okay.
I don't think he goes to many meetings now, but like I said, they're in an area where there is not, you know, fictitiously, a lot of meetings. So, you know, he's kind of got the double whammy. He's sober in that he's not, I don't know if he does any steps or anything like that. I know he has in the past. I know he's gone in and out. He's had his things. But the one thing he's clear about is, if I want to continue to not drink, I better not go over there.
Okay.
So, I mean,
and that's what he should do.
There's that. So I would agree. I don't think he should be involved. I think they're in some ways are between a rock and a hard place, because unless they get together on a solution, and not a solution for the guy, a solution for the family, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think, I'll tell you, I think that if this guy suddenly said, oh, I'm going to move into my sister's house, I think the sister who kind of has had words to say about mom, suddenly that would be a different story because she just got rid of an alcoholic. You know, and even though this might be someone that's close to her, you know, that's just jump, you know, from the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah.
You know, I just got rid of an alcoholic and I'm going to invite another one to stay at my house. It seems to be one of those things, well, you know, if you want to go to mom's house, that's okay.
Sure.
But not my house. And I know, I think that there might be in this fictitious world other family members in that area. There may be other family members in that area that would be clearly, no, you're not coming to our house. I mean, I don't think there's any question from those guys. And I think that they've effectively probably stayed out of it as much as they can. But, you know, it's a small town. Small towns talk. I'll tell you what. If you took an alcoholic of my variety and put me in that town,
uh-huh.
It would take no time before everybody in town knew who I was.
Yeah.
They would know my entire drinking story because it's not a big place. You know.
Okay.
I think it would be hella exciting.
Well, I'm glad we were able to solve this thing on the show today.
This fictitious situation, yes.
The fictitious situation. Well, because I'm sure that there are many people out there who run into this situation. You know,
I'm sure there are.
And there's going to be many people that are sober. Uh-huh. Maybe not with a lot of time, who have a brother or sister comes to town who's hammered all the time, who's causing family issues. It's like it's got to happen on the regular.
So there you have it. Proof positive that just as the family couldn't come to any consensus, we can have a room full of recovering addicts and alcoholics sit here and not come to any consensus.
I think we came to a consensus. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it.
Stay away.
Mark says... For the guy that's newer, yeah, absolutely. If you're worried about being loaded around, then don't go there. Be supportive to mom. Shelley says, yeah, everyone should be supportive to mom.
Sure.
The United Front. I think everyone should be supportive to mom, the United Front. I think they should learn to let go with love. And, you know, maybe there will be a significant bottom. I would have thought the significant bottom would have happened. There was a... Someone was working on an engine and while really drunk, and the engine exploded.
Oh.
And with injury. And
are we still talking about a fictitious family?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was
because,
just checking.
Yeah. Because otherwise it would have been a boat, but it's not. I mean, it was an engine. It was an engine. But here's the thing, and this is what the really sad thing is it's a sad thing when you hear it, because we'll sit here and Mark, you know, it's clear to us. Family needs to have a united front. The guy who's got some sobriety or whatever is worried about being around. It shouldn't be around. I mean, to us, it's real black and white and real clear. But to the people that are living it at that moment, there's all kinds of emotion. Like for me... You know, we don't have emotional attachment to this story.
Right. Yeah.
So, because, but the people that are right in the mix of it.
Because it's a small town. I imagine there might be some woodlands nearby or something. I mean, just get them drunk and take them over to a wood chipper.
Oh, jeez.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Whoops. Because once that starts, it doesn't stop.
Wow. Have you ever seen one of those things that grinds up cars?
Yeah.
Wow. You can drop anything in it. Or the ones that tear up tires.
Oh, yeah.
You put these big truck tires in there, and it just shreds them like it's nothing.
Yeah, turns them into BBs.
Oh, my goodness. So,
hey, just an alternative point of view. Fictitiously, of course.
Shelley, should anyone be going to Al-Anon? Not even that I know if there even is Al-Anon in this area.
Everybody.
They should start Al-Anon.
Yeah, if fictitiously, there are probably enough people in this group that could start their own meeting.
Yeah, you know what? My mom, when I was in recovery, became secretary of an Al-Anon meeting at Los Encinas Hospital. And she said, I got to tell you, it's going to be awesome. We're going to make it a step study. And Alan on step study, I said, that's fantastic. Who's going to run it, Mom? She says, I am. I said, how many steps have you worked? And she said, none. And I said, maybe you should call Al-Anon Central Office and get someone to come and run the meeting that's actually worked the steps that can help you guys get through the steps. Uh-huh. Because otherwise it's going to be the blind leading the blind. You know, you can't run a step study when no one in the room has worked the steps, because then it's all conjecture and theory. You need to get someone. You got to have at least one person in there who's worked the steps. You got to have one. And I'm sure if you called Al-Anon Central Office, you could find somebody. And they actually came to the conclusion they couldn't get someone, or they said they couldn't get someone who had worked all the steps. So they thought maybe having a step study meeting was a bad idea.
Right.
Well, that's probably a good thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you're going to help each other work the steps, that's like me and another newcomer saying, hey, let's sponsor each other. We'll get through the steps together.
How many times have you watched that happen?
I had that happen once with myself. I sponsored my friend James, and he sponsored me back.
It was the worst year of my life.
Well, I'll tell you what. I will give credit where credit's due. I would tell James to do stuff. He did every freaking thing I asked. I'd tell him to write. He'd come back with way too much writing. I mean, I'd tell him to write. He'd come back with 37 pages or something. I'd be like, oh, wow.
On the other hand, Bruce didn't do Bupkis.
Well, that's because I worked perfect program at the time.
At the time?
Well, we are talking about a fictitious situation here.
So once again.
Yeah. Okay. Just, you know.
Except the part about me, of course.
Of course.
Because I'm sitting right here. Yeah. So, Shelley.
You're fictitiously sitting here.
Yeah. So, Shelley, what would your final words on family affair be?
It says in the book, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, that an alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature.
True.
So if you are dealing with an alcoholic, pick your stopping point and stick. Don't back down, because we have a tendency to run people over. And it's perfectly okay. You are entitled to do that. You're
Mark?
Actually doing us a favor.
Mark?
Besides the family that drinks together, sings together.
So, that's good.
Yeah, so,
I, you know, and I believe, and I don't even know because it's fictitious, but when we came up with this concept, I don't think I ever determined if there were drinkers in the family.
Well, there's one obviously who.
Well, there's one.
Isn't
there would be one
right
obviously,
now.
But I didn't think about that to throw that in the mix. I don't even know if anyone else in the family drinks. I don't know. If they do, they're probably not alcoholic. Would be my guess.
Okay. Then I'll stick with that.
Okay. The family that drinks together, sings together. I would go along with the things we said. The person that thinks they maybe shouldn't be involved shouldn't. I think they should all be supportive of Mom. I think that the family needs to have a united front with whatever it is. If they're all okay with them drinking, great. Then they can all be okay with them drinking.
Uh-huh.
If they're not okay with them drinking, they need to let them know that.
Right.
And to the affected one, I would say that at the very least, you should go to a meeting and pick up a 20 questions and take it the test honestly and see how you do. I got an A on mine.
I got all but one.
You know what? I got all but one as well. And what was the one you didn't get?
Did you ever use more cocaine at a time than you intended to? No.
No,
I always
intended
to use
all of it.
Yeah.
I got, because I took the AA one, mine was, do you ever crave a drink at a certain time of day? No. I mean, I used to get loaded all the time. It's not, but I think they were judging that to like the guys that can't wait till happy hour after work.
Right.
Yeah, and that happy hour for me starts at 9 a.m.
You have a job?
Yeah. Happy hour to me started yesterday.
Happy hour was...
And I'm still on
happy
it.
Happy hour was when the Coke showed up.
Yeah. The
unhappy hour was the hour after you ran out.
That's right. In the grays.
Yes.
Yeah,
Shelley. Never ran out at 3 in the afternoon. Always ran out at 4 o'clock in the morning.
There you go. Shelley?
Yes.
We have friends back east and in the Inland Empire.
If you go to 12stepgazette.com and .com/IE, you can read the 12-Step Gazette, chock full of recovery goodies. And you could possibly also contact those fine people to see if you can get a franchise of that.
Sweet.
Publication.
Dude. Sweet.
Mark, we have people who listen to the show.
We do, and we appreciate it. However you find the show, thank you very much for listening. If you do not already, we ask that you go to our site at recovery101.net and click on it, which time you'll be directed to the Podomatic site. If you are already a member of Podomatic, you can go on and take care of all the crap we tell you to do every week. If you're not yet a member, we ask that you become a member of Podomatic. It is free.
And fun.
At which time, when you join Podomatic, you can like shows, you can listen, you can follow.
You can follow. You can follow every single time
you listen. And you can, if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, please put it into the comments on the latest show so that we see them. And you can add us to your playlist for all your wanton party needs.
Wanton party needs. If you are Facebook friendly, it's really easy to join Podomatic. If you go to recovery101.net and you look over on the right-hand side and partway down it says follow, become a follower. And if you become a follower and you're not already a member, it'll ask you how would you like to join? Would you like to log in with Facebook? If you log in with Facebook, it's super easy. You only got to do it one time, and it will save your information in there. And anytime you go and you want to comment, add to playlist, follow, and all that, you can do it quite easily from that point. I would encourage people that go. You can follow every single time you go. I don't know why that is, but you can. And you should. If you are Facebook friendly, you can join the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. If you want to be more anonymous on Facebook, you can join the Recovery 101 secret group. Shh. The secret group means that you can post in there and it won't show up on your own newsfeed. No one will know that you're doing recovery stuff if you want to be on the down low.
Even you won't know.
If you'd like to join the Recovery 101 secret group, you can message us at the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page, or you can message Shelley Burnett or Bill Piper or any of these people. They can add you, or Bruce Burnett, we can add you from there as well. You have to be a friend of ours first, I think, for us to add you, so we'll friend request you, and then we can add you to the group. Let's see. We have an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can send topics. You can send rants. You can send raves. We'd rather you comment those, but you can send them there. If you have a sober band, you can send us some music and a link that you would like us to link to, and we'll play it as lead-out music. And you can send us a picture, and we'll hook that all up for you. If you want to send us a jingle, like Recovery 101 Idol, we'll use the jingle at least once.
We will.
If it's really good, we'll use it a lot. If it's really bad, we might even use it a lot. It just depends. We've had ones that are cult classics. Not the ones you would normally think of at first, but that once you hear them, you can't get them out of your head, which is awesome. Let's see. We have videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101. Rule 62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Bones and thieves, come gather round for your daily reprieve. All of us here are soaked in sin. Brothers and sisters, I call you my kin. We sang with the band as we shipped out to sea. toasted the captain while sunk to our knees. We made it to shore by the skins of our necks. We share the scars we received from the wreck. The discontent and disheveled, the young heretics and the rousers of rebels. Now sing with me. Proud fight until my dying breath. Fight until my dying breath. See, I'll fight this proud fight until my dying breath.